This episode is brought to you by Hill's Pet Nutrition. Every shelter pet deserves a second chance, and you're making it possible for thousands of them every day. Because when you feed your pet Hill's, you help feed a shelter pet, which helps make them healthy, happy, and more adoptable, changing their life forever. So they can change yours. Over 14 million shelter pets fed and adopted. Science did that. Visit hillspet.com/podcast to learn more.
Cool Games Inc. It's a video game design podcast for Polygon.com. I'm Griffin McElroy.
I'm Nick Robinson.
Nick Robinson. I don't know if you're following the news right now, but as soon as we sat down in the studio to record this podcast together, big story just broke, and it is that there is a giant blob of foam that has started somewhere in some industrial building in Santa Clara, California, which, let's get this out of the way. How fucking close to that is that to your home?
Santa Clara is about a couple hours away in some direction.
Originating from this industrial Santa Clara building is a blob of foam, and it is expanding rapidly.
Is this real?
This is real.
There's some for real, like, Akira shit happening?
This is some for real Akira shit, and it is consuming the left coast. And so I just want to make sure that, A, you're safe and ready to move if you need to, but B, how quickly can I get to Santa Clara and get absorbed by my new foam master? And how quickly can I get there and sort of get swallowed up by the blob?
Because become
the blob and be home and be one with the blob.
I feel like the earlier you get into that big blob, you kind of get first dibs as an early adopter. I think you probably have a high rank in the new blob.
Yeah, I want to get the early, like, the good Kickstarter rewards for being eaten by the blob and being the blob.
Because if you get in that blob now, you are probably one of the first 100 people through the door. You've got 1% of that blob's mind share. So you're going to be very powerful once it consumes the rest of the planet.
I had the thought, though, that I ate some Shame Panda Express for lunch. And now I feel like death. And I had the thought of, like, I don't want to get on a plane right now. So that's where I'm at sort of emotionally. Like, if you're wondering, like, what my...
Totally.
Sort of anxiety... What my self, like, help... What my, like, self-care level is at, it is at... I am too ill from the bad Panda Express I ate for lunch out of shame.
That you ate on purpose, too, that you chose.
Fly, that I chose to eat out of shame, to fly to Santa Clara to be devoured by a floam blob. Okay. If it's floam, that might be fun, because then they could mold it into different shapes.
I actually think that would be more lethal, though, because you get a little foam in your mouth, you just spit that right out. It's like a rave, a foam party. But if you get floam in you... Those beads are going to jank up your lungs in a way that I don't think you'll recover from.
I don't think I'll love that, no.
I'm flying down to L.A. Later today, so I can peek out the window.
Check out this scene, and let me... Because if people are out there, and they're getting consumed by the blob, and they're like, ha, 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 I want to, like... Maybe I'll tough it out. I just, you know, I'll take a Pepto, and I'll take a Pepcid AC.
I've been to Santa Clara once, and it's because that's where California Extreme is, which is like the big arcade and pinball machine convention. Okay. I went there 5 years ago, I think, and it's just I just can't imagine a worse place to get foamed up than that.
Yeah,
all
that
would be rough. Old timey big old Game Boys full of pinballs and different bumpers.
No, it's delicate machinery.
I think so. Yeah,
I brought this up one because I would love to be consumed, but two, it also seems like a Cool Games Inc. game manifest.
Yeah,
like you are a sentient blob of foam. There's like cops surrounding the blob of foam right now. I'm watching
really?
A live stream. Yeah, I'm watching a live stream.
What the fuck
at this
are you
going to
do?
What
you're going to shoot it?
Do?
You're going to arrest the foam?
Shoot and kill the foam.
Put handcuffs on it, you dicks.
Oppress the blob. You can't. It's the fucking blob. You either join it or you get out of the fucking way.
Yeah, that, those are your two options. You can't pepper spray the blob. You can't solve all your problems that way.
I'll stop the blob, Hero Cop said, before joining the blob, of course.
Inevitably.
Inevitably being consumed by that blob. You can't just fight the blob. You can't kill the blob.
No. I don't think there is no type of bullet, unless the bullets have, like, maybe if you wipe the bridge of your nose and then put it on your handcuffs and then throw that in the blob,
that might work.
That could, because kind of a beer foam situation, you could maybe cut down on it.
Nick, how did video game do?
Oh, the one from last time?
Uh-huh.
Big time. What was it? It was Death Stranding Ground Zeroes, right?
Oh, yeah.
Yeah, I don't know if you've seen the news lately, but I think we have successfully kneecapped Facebook.com. They're not doing so good.
Yeah, they're really not doing too hot right now, are they?
No.
And you know what? A lot of people sent me links to this. Twitter, decided to fucking get out of bed and do anything.
Right.
They, announced that they're, going to do stuff to, shut down abusive, alt-right accounts. And a lot of people were like, hey... They linked that video of that bit we did where I yelled at Jack Dorsey for 10 minutes.
Yeah, somebody animated that very nicely.
Let's hop into the podcast.
Sure.
And start getting buck wild on it.
All right, no problem. What do you want to go with first? Should we just do the top submission this week because it's so goddamn good?
Yeah, absolutely.
If you ever want to submit ideas for Cool Games Inc., go to reddit.com/r/CoolGamesInc. There'll be a thread pinned at the top where you can submit them. This one comes in from Dordriff, and I haven't been able to stop thinking about it for 3 days, and it's a game where you play as the middle picture from an Animorphs book cover.
Right, so in an Animorphs book cover, what we're looking at here is there's a 12-year-old boy,
mm-hmm.
and then that's one, and then we'll say five. I think that it comes in fives.
Yes.
Number five is an iguana. Number two is a 12-year-old boy, but he's kind of hunched over, isn't he? And number four is that's mostly an iguana.
Mm-hmm. It's kind of this beautiful sliding scale, this Venn diagram.
Yes.
From
yes.
The line between human and animal. And it's there are over 50 volumes of K.A. Applegate's Animorphs series, and none of
yes.
them aren't gross. They all make you feel bad when you look at that middle one.
That cover is rough, especially the ones where it's is it alien?
Oh, an Andalite? You're talking about an Andalite, right?
Yeah, yeah. There's nothing and delightful about them. They're weird looking, and I hate watching kids turn into them.
They love Cinnabons, though.
They
I'm looking
do.
At... I'm just... It's just a Google image search for Animorphs. I really recommend it if you're listening to this, because it adds a real... Just so you know the degree of what we're talking about here, it's so... It's every single middle one is... I wouldn't want to be any of these. There's no right answer here. They all are upsetting. This tiger lady. I'm getting goosebumps because this boy, this 90s boy with his long sweater tucked into his big bright blue jeans is halfway between being a cobra and being the boy he's supposed to be. And it is making me... Why? This spider one is very bad. The boy's crouched down so that he
yeah,
can...
Yeah, it's not good. I'm looking at one of a boy who turns... He's been wearing a beautiful green shirt, but he turns into a tiger. And that little picture kind of looks like he's got... cute face paint on, but his body and bones and muscles are also face painted.
Right. He's developed a gut that, and also his shirt has turned into skin. Do you see that? His tail isn't very good. Look at that starfish girl too. Look at her.
Yeah, the starfish girl is pretty upsetting. I'm looking at a squid girl now, and luckily they do sort of blur out some of the more troubling parts of... Oh, boy into horse is just... Wow. You know that joke where it's like, why the long face?
I've heard that joke, yeah.
Starfish girl, Nick.
Starfish
girl, I can't. Because the starfish is all pointy and stuff, and so their solution for that is just take the top of head and pull up, but don't adjust the rest of
head.
They
use the blur... Yeah, I actually think in her case, interestingly...
Number four
is the worst one, because she's just barely starfish. So really, basically what's happening is her skin has developed kind of a scale-based panache to it, and her head is shaped like a Steven Universe character, and I can't look at her anymore.
Yeah, so, okay, so this is, first of all, an Animorphs video game would be extremely good.
I mean, I've played every Animorphs video game, so ask me anything about any of them. There was the Game Boy Color one that was just like a shitty fake Pokemon. There was a PC one that I
Whoa,
got
what?
At the Scholastic
Whoa, what?
Bulk
Stop,
Fair.
Stop, what?
There's a GBA Animorph game that exists that is like kind of a Pokemon clone.
GBA, or, no, it's Game Boy Color.
Game Boy Color, sorry. Yeah, it's not, it wasn't great. Not the best, most sterling pixel art ever, The one that I got way more obsessed with was the one I got at the school book fair, which also fucking completely sucked, but it had technically 3D graphics. Now I want to look at this Game Boy Color one.
I just looked it up. You can speedrun it in 37 minutes. I mean,
we've got about 37 minutes left in this episode.
Yeah, we could just like do a play-by-play talk. I would actually, Nick, I told you before we started, I've recorded, I think, like 9 podcasts this week. I would love nothing better than to stop saying funny things and just give a play-by-play of an Animorphs speedrun that we found on YouTube.
Yeah, just watch it together. Sort of a soothing alternate episode.
Let me hit you with this.
What you got?
Because I've been playing a lot of Dishonored 2.
Oh, okay.
And it's good. I like it fine. I think it would be much improved, though, if instead of, like, a billion different ways to, like, cut people's fucking legs, arms, heads, and torsos off, what if you, like, could transform into different things, right? Like, in Dishonored, you could transform into... Well, you could inhabit a rat and use that to crawl, or Emily can transform into a little shadow and crawl through little crawl spaces.
Yeah.
So I like this idea of like being able to tackle different situations, but you can only do it by transforming into different animals. So you could turn into a crow, fly up high, squawk. But I mean, of course, you have to get the crow power.
You're talking about a licensed Animorph game built on the Dishonored engine.
Yeah, I think Arkane could make it.
That would be really nice. We're not totally accommodating the very specific restriction.
Yes, and sorry, you're right. You could never transform all the way good. So no. Like I was thinking like a good thing would be you transform into a dog and then you can go fucking anywhere because people see a dog and they're like, crazy, awesome, yeah. Only it wouldn't be a dog, would it?
No, it would be
It would be a... Let me see if there is one...
Animorphs dog. I mean, yeah. This is interesting because we're describing a... Previously, there is absolutely a dog one. There's many dog ones.
It doesn't disappoint. This middle boy, like, he's got a cute brown button nose. His ears are pretty much human ears, and he has pretty much human hair. Does the jacket become dog? Like, how does that work?
Please look at Animorphs number 35, the proposal where that boy turns into a poodle.
Oh, he turns into a cute poodle.
Because
so this is...
Look at evolution number 2 there. He has grown a small blue bow behind his awful ear. His shitty arms crumpled up in his mutant sweatshirt. His pants are gone by
his
stage 3.
Gone, yeah.
Oh.
So, like, you couldn't really stealth it like that. Anything you saw while anamorphed kind of in this game, it would just be like, what is up with that bird?
I think that rules because it actually balances itself, because in exchange for having these animal powers, you become actually much less stealthy. You're much easier to spot because you're just a fucking monster. Sorry, I'm reading this episode, the proposal, this volume. Marco's dad is getting remarried to Marco's math teacher, Nora Robinette. Marco's upset because she is his math teacher. That's the summary for the one where he turns into a poodle. I don't know how turning into a poodle fixes that.
Yeah. There's a book called Animorphs, The Diversion. Mm. And on this cover, there's a ghostly boy, and he's just in the background, but he's not an active transformant. Instead, it goes from big eagle to dog.
Well, okay, I actually can. I think I can totally explain what's going on in this image. Although it does look, I mean, I can't explain the part where it's a dog with two tiny wings. Evolution number 4 there is a fucking monstrosity.
Like, it's a dog with beautiful bird wings. You mean?
But they're
why
small.
They're small. Why is there a bird transforming to a dog?
Well, obviously, Griffin, it's because Tobias didn't obey the golden rule of Animorphs, and he got turned into a bird, and he didn't change back, and he stuck as a bird. But then later in the series, he gets the ability to turn into other animals. But the cost is too high.
It's a high cost. This would be a good fucking game.
It would be.
How about another one, though? I have a suggestion here. And again, if you want to drop them in that Reddit, that is like the best place to do it. I mean, we could do... So I have a modifier here that I think is fun, and it's sent in by All Idangs.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, and 1294, who says, this week's Dank Nug stipulation, add and Knuckles to every suggestion.
I also grabbed this one.
Okay, so let's just keep that in mind and we'll move on.
Yeah.
I like this one from Itsami Amario.
It's probably, yeah.
Yeah, I think I'll take another run at it.
Right, two, one.
Itsami Amario. Oh,
it's Amy Mario.
It's Amy Mario who says chess 3
and Knuckles. I like that because it fits the naming convention of Sonic 3 and Knuckles. We've got chess 3 and
sure.
Knuckles.
Sure. So I don't know if we're, I don't know if this suggestion is built on the back of Chess 2, which is a real game that is on Steam.
Right. I think it has to be.
And no, it is. It is. It's like chess, but you, there's like different gameplay modes.
They must have, they, there's no reason they would have said three unless they knew that two existed. But I think we're not, I mean, this could be a Far Cry 3 or even a Mafia 3 situation where we can throw out the playbook and
just
we can
throw
just
it all out. Or it can be an Uncharted 3 situation where we keep the playbook and we just do the playbook again. We just do that same doggone playbook.
All right.
In this one, the knights can move two spaces forward and one space to the... Yeah, that's how it's been.
What if it's a Halo 5 situation where it's kind of a back-to-basics vibe, where we're like, we've really looked at it, we decided we want an even playing field, and we want it to be just like the classic chess you remember, and so it's basically just fucking chess, but with booster packs of skins.
What if...
And Knuckles. It,
and Knuckles. So, okay, let's talk about that.
Mm-hmm.
I think Chess 3 and Knuckles... It feels good to say it.
It's phonetically very pleasant.
Phonetically,
yeah.
It feels good to say it. It would feel great to buy it. It would be like you have, your nine pawns. I don't know how many pieces there are. I think nine pawns, maybe eight, maybe ten. Eight is right. Eight pawns, and you got your two rooks and your two bishops and your two knights and your king and your queen and a floating Knuckles.
Oh, interesting. So it's kind of like a 3D, almost like a star, like in Star Wars, they play that fucked up chess?
Yes, yes. So you have all those pieces, and I guess we're going back to basics for Chess 3, baby. And so all those pieces are going to be right where you want them to be. None of this really bad chess stuff, although, God, I love that game.
Mm-hmm.
Just some vanilla chess, except this one does have Knuckles in it. And he's a playable character, by which I mean you aren't, like... Knuckles sitting at the table moving the pieces around. Knuckles himself is a piece. What would Knuckles do in the fiction of chess?
WWKD. You mean like mechanically speaking?
Yes.
Okay, like I feel like, I mean, Knuckles is characterized obviously by his ability to glide and then to kind of flop his belly on the ground when he lands. He does not chuckle.
He punches very much.
He punches a lot, and he likes to dig things up from the ground.
Digging's important. So what if in every game of chess, there were chaos emeralds?
Great.
Hidden on... How many... There's eight chaos or seven chaos emeralds?
There's seven, unless you count like that big one in the sort of hidden zone.
I don't count that one.
Okay.
And when they added that, like, what were they doing with that one?
Well, that level was never... I mean, it was unfinished, right? So it wasn't supposed to...
I think it was not canonical. It's like, that's the prize of the game. It can't be like there's a big flagpole in the Mario level. There can't be a big Princess Peach you have to rescue.
Well, I mean, maybe that we write that down and we talk about that later in the episode.
We'll talk about that much, much later in the episode. But the Knuckles piece is very strong.
This digging thing, it seems so good because an 8x8 grid is plenty of places to hide seven Chaos Emeralds.
There's about 80 potential hiding places.
I love
this.
So let's make him very nimble, very powerful, but like... It's almost, you know what it is? It's like, you know how many contemporary board games have alternate win conditions? Like, you either kill everyone else or you get seven victory points or whatever. Getting all of the Chaos Emeralds is an alternate victory condition in Chess 3.
An alternate victory. A diplomatic victory. Okay, yes. Let me just... This is good. Chess 3 and Knuckles, set that aside. Chess Heroes now. This board, not 8x8, it's 8x60. Sonic is a piece. He can get across the board very quickly. Tails can fly. Knuckles can dig. Big the Cat is there too, doing whatever he's good at.
Mm-hmm.
Now, Amy's there. She's got the hammer.
She's got the hammer. She can smash a 3x3 grid, kind of an area of effect attack right in front of her.
Mm-hmm. You know who else is there? Rouge the Bat.
Mm-hmm.
Cream.
The Bunny. Now, do we have Snively there?
Snively's there. The fucking alligator's there. The fucking metal one is there. Dr. Robotnik is there. Monster from
Dr.
Sonic
Robotnik
Adventure.
Dr. Robotnik is there, but it's important to note that also Snively is there, and you can select Snively, and Snively is playable for the first time. 2 decades. We haven't seen Snively since the Archie comics, but he's back. It's time to... Snively's return. It's called Chess 3, Snively's return.
And yes.
We're relaunching the Snively brand.
So, and these pieces... move in fun new ways. Sonic can move 100 spaces.
Right.
Fast as
when
fuck.
You said 8x80, are you that lengthwise or?
Yes, it's a long ass board. You got to play this shit on a big old dining room table.
I love it. This is a physical board game too, right?
It's chess, duh.
It's not. Well, chess 2 was digital though, dick.
Well, it doesn't. No, I want to feel it. I want to feel knuckles.
All right, you want to roll knuckles
feel,
over in your hand.
I want to feel cream. I want to hold cream in my hand and feel the heft of cream.
Mm-hmm.
I want to take the cream piece, and I want to take the big piece, and I want to push them together.
See, well, maybe we have a sort of a Skylanders supercharged situation where that does something.
Yeah, it does something.
This is the top.
Gets, you know, yeah, one might say it gets me supercharged.
I do like the idea, though, of a sort
makes
of
my portal of power glow.
Stop that. Imagine, though, a piece, if you will,
cream.
That bottom half of Big the Cat, top half cream, or vice versa, and some of the opportunities that opens up. No two games are ever the same.
Yeah, man.
And what? What if we make it so you can pick any team you want, but you do have to play with Snively? Snively Robotnik.
You're gonna have to tell me what Snively is.
Well,
now,
Snively,
were you waiting this whole time for me to ask for clarification? Because I think you might be one of six people on Earth that like harbors
Listen
this dark
to me.
Secret.
The Snively fandom is lively and Snively, and every day we're looking in that Tumblr tag for Snively, looking at different pictures of our favorite green-shirted henchman. Snively.
Oh, I hate this.
If you want, he looks good. He's got kind of a Rugrats hair vibe, and here's a picture of him hanging out with a very, very sexy version of Sally Acorn, but looking very scared.
Wow, you don't have to send me the link to that one, because I already found it.
Yeah, it's kind of near the top of the results, which should tell you everything you need to know about Snively fans. That Sally Acorn is so pregnant. Snively is kind of
is a... there a computer, generate a pregnant Snively.
Let me just type in Snively pregnant.
Mission accomplished. I'm done.
Did you find a pregnant Snively?
I found Snively gripping the pregnant belly of Claire the cat. I don't know who that is. That sounds like an original
probably an OC.
Okay, so moving away from that everything that this podcast stands for.
Let me tell you one that I've got saved here. Lawful Swampy, and we might have to tap, because Griffin, you play JRPGs, I don't, so I'm going to need your help here. But Lawful Swampy says, the world ends with Gru. Gru, like, of course, being the protagonist of Despicable Me, the franchise that introduced us to minions.
Oh, I see. I thought it was the Zork thing. I've not seen Despicable Me, unfortunately. Have you not played The World Ends With You?
No.
Nicholas,
come on,
get that shit, dude. No, it's
every
on
time,
iPad.
I know. Every time I almost play it, though, people are like, "Don't play that iPhone version. Go get a DS cartridge." And I'm like, "Well, I'm not going to do that, so I'm just going to never play it."
I mean, you should get the DS cartridge; it is better. But the iPad version isn't bad either. It's good, and it's a good fucking game, man. And you would love it. That game rules school. Yes, that's a homework assignment. So this is just Gru though, and he's like kicking it in like. Harajuku, like, buying up the freshest fashions, teen fashions, to get, like, telekinetic abilities.
Gru is already a pretty fashionable dude, so I think that actually makes sense. He is a villain, so the telekinesis would come in handy. If I remember right, Despicable Me is the only movie I've ever walked out of, but if I remember right...
Oh, really?
Yeah. Sent
me a fucking picture of Gru, like, I don't know who the fuck we're talking about.
You hesitated when we... Anyways, Gru, isn't it like a... It's the guy from The Office doing, like, a Russian guy voice? Isn't that
Steve
the bit?
Steve Carell, yes.
Yeah. I don't want to think about Gru anymore. Maybe I...
Okay. Speaking of, here, I got a JRPG one.
Okay.
Let's stay on this. It's from Spliff Honk, who says, mm-hmm. Persona, but takes place in a retirement home. And a really, really fucking killer response to this was submitted by Poppy Don't Preach, who said, in quotes, "Damn, her arcana is death too?" which, if you've played a Persona game, death is one of the arcana of like
right.
type categories of people that you befriend, and it's like
everyone's arcana would be death in the retirement home is the
implication,
right?
Yeah, and
right?
Four, it was like an old woman whose husband had just recently passed from being too old. I think, well, first of all, at this point, any port in a fucking storm Any persona port in a storm. Are you fucking kidding me?
I'm so excited.
April.
It's coming 2014 on the PlayStation 3. It's going to be so good.
I am so excited for the PlayStation 2 2011 launch. What the fuck?
Oh boy. Yeah, no, they I mean I'm a little excited because I'm going to PlayStation Expo next month and I get to play the English version so I can report back on how that is. But these delays, dude, doing it again to put it on Valentine's Day and then take it away.
Take it away from me on Valentine's Day.
Especially, there's something extra cruel about that because Valentine's Day is the day when some of us maybe need that game most. And to yank it from, to offer it and then take it away so quickly is a kind of a nasty move.
It's a nasty, nasty move.
So, all right, so let's think about this. It takes place in retirement. No, Persona 4 kind of had that, like, calendar cycle going where there was a sense of urgency to all your relationships. In this game, there's also a sense of urgency to all your relationships, yeah. But it's because everyone is 10 minutes away from kicking the bucket.
10 to 15 minutes. So, like, it's like, you had that year cycle in, I think that started in 3, and it continued in 4. Mm-hmm. And it's going to be in 5. And I think in Persona 6, it's like, question mark? Like maybe it'll go April to April. I'm not sure. So, but in 3, it was the dark hour, right? So, like when you did your adventuring, it was in this 13th hour after that happened after midnight.
And then in 4, you had the
fourth
fog
game.
To
you had that. Well, you had televisions that you went inside, and I think in 5, like you follow GPS signals to like.
I'm so media blackout on that game. And
I know.
I'm loving it.
So in this one, like, how do they get into? How did they get into the adventure?
I mean,
like,
obviously,
world.
If you've ever been to a retirement home, you know that the solution is in some way connected to Wii bowling.
It's everywhere. I remember writing about that in 2007, I think, at Joystick. Like, look at this dope shit. Like, old folks are, like, bowling like mad, and they can beat your ass off in this game. But you go to a nursing home today, and it's like, what are we doing today? Wii bowling?
Still?
Ooh, really? Not even Wii Sports Resort, huh?
No, they don't even have the Wii Motion Plus accessory.
Damn, you don't have that extra dongle, huh? It's too heavy. What is the dongle?
It was a little bit heavier. Now, I'm going to kind of answer my own question here, Griffin. But I was kind of wondering, like, who's the Teddy? Who's the little cat guy from Persona 5? Like, who's their companion? I think the answer's right in front of our nose. It's Knuckles. It's just got to be Knuckles.
I think as Teddy, the shadow-born, otherworldly being that sort of mystified the children in Persona 4, mm-hmm. I think there would be a direct sort of correlation between him and Knuckles, who I think would mystify an older person living in America today.
For sure.
If I showed one of our superiors. One of our seniors, a picture of Knuckles and tried to explain what Knuckles was all about and why he's so important to me, I feel like I would get some confused looks.
I think you're 100% right. I also, I guess, you tell me, Griffin, if Teddy's the precedent here, can this Knuckles, will he at some point, 10 hours in,
join your team,
but then
yes.
Pop his head off and there's a sexy boy in
there. And there's a sexy fucking boy, or a sexy old man.
Ooh.
So the protagonist is a completely silent older man or woman. You can choose you can choose at the beginning of the game.
Yeah.
And then you make friends, and there's like sort of a like goofy guy that you can be friends with, and then there's
Yosuke
like
Hanamura type old guy,
an older Yosuke figure. But then there's like a very serious sort of intellectual woman that you can befriend also, who does like fire magic and healing.
Mm-hmm. Was there an old jock? He's the guy who's like has all the high scores on Wii Bowling.
Fuck yes. And then one day the four of you stumble into the, oh my god, it's like an inactive freight elevator in the nursing home.
Oh god, yes.
And it takes you up to floors that aren't in the building anymore because it's built on like the shadow dimension, and Knuckles is the elevator operator that takes you there and explains to you that world. But then at a certain point in the game, you befriend him and he does come out. So it's just like my grandpa, your grandma, somebody mm-hmm. else's grandpa, the jock good at Wii Sports, and fucking Knuckles like beating up shadows.
Can we
step on up to the plate?
This is so good. I just think to balance it out, I think we're going to have to, when we do our version of the Velvet Room, we're going to have to make Igor very young and very hot just to.
Oh, because fuck yes.
There's no shortage of olds in this game already. We need a sexy young Igor.
Is it set in either a rural or urban Japanese city, or can we take this one?
We're returning to Yasuinaba. It's the Yasuinaba retirement home.
I mean, I would love to spend more time in Yasuinaba.
Me too.
But I think that it might be fun to do it in like Milwaukee.
Yeah. Okay.
Which would be a departure for the series, right? Like, I would want the Persona team working on it.
God, this is a fun podcast to do, and we love to tell each other funny jokes and silly ideas, but can you imagine if the Persona 5 trailer dropped and it was like this stylish, slick fucking motion graphics thing, but it's like all old people? Like, what would the reaction be if this game came to be? Would it be embraced with open arms? Is fandom culture ready for a game about retired Milwaukeans?
I think we're ready. I would play the fuck out of this game.
Me too.
A game that like all the characters aren't either like super hip teens or like really gruff space soldiers.
Yeah.
Well, I mean, but instead just like old Milwaukeans.
The pattern of how this goes, Griffin, is right now we're currently in the era of like the datification of games, right? Where like now that all the game developers and people who play games are like in their early 30s, now every single video game protagonist has like some sort of daughter that he's trying to save or rescue or escort. So
yes.
I think all we really got to do is wait another 30 years. And then when Persona 15 comes out, it's going to be straight olds out the wazoo.
Oh, shit. I just remember Metal Gear Solid 5.
Oh, fuck. And Knuckles. Here's one from Poppy Don't Preach, who says, Ollie Ollie Oxenfree, but it's the game Ollie Ollie.
Like the skateboard game?
And then the game Oxenfree. Have you played Ollie Ollie?
I fucking adore Ollie
Cool.
Ollie.
Well, I adore Oxenfree. I don't know if you've played any of that, but I think...
I played a bit. This is a game. It's a game where you can, like... skateboard new dope tricks, and it has like a soundtrack, but you tune the radio to the soundtrack, but sometimes ghosts attack you.
Yeah, but then there's also a lot of teen conversation dialogue trees. There's a haunted island.
This could be good, man. You just reminded me that fucking Ollie Ollie exists, and now I want to go spend another like dozen hours trying to perfect a single level again.
It's a very good game.
How could you do this to me? Here's a really fun one, and it mentions Hitman, and I promise, Nick, I'm gonna play it at some point. The season just finished, right?
Yeah, season one is out there. You can go get the pack and just have them hit the whole thing at once.
A good thing to play on this PS4 Pro. Pro Target says, a Mr. Bean game in the style of Hitman, where you have to navigate a scripted environment full of NPCs accomplishing Mr. Bean's inscrutable goals.
So the NPCs are doing it? Is that what you're telling me?
I would rather we be the ones doing it. I don't see why the NPCs get to be the one having all the fun.
I can agree.
You're just like at like a party and you're just doing NPCs. You're just doing Mr. Bean stuff. So like you're just like going through, but you have to avoid like being kicked out of the party for being Mr. Bean. If Mr. Bean walked into my home, I would say I enjoy what you do, but I don't want it to happen here because you're sort of a calamitous figure.
Right. There's a right place and a right time for his particular type of antics. And
yeah, you like ruin like ancient paintings and shave children bald.
I feel like I remember him driving a car. Like I think he's using a broom.
It's kind of like a broom.
That's
like
weird.
It's really dangerous is what it is. So like if you came to my home, I'd be like, you're so funny when you fall down and stuff. But like, I just got this new TV and I don't want you to like put a broom through it accidentally somehow. So like you have to be discreet as Mr. Bean, as you like go into a corner to like blow up a balloon to decorate the party. But you accidentally eat the balloon and then you're like,
I ate the balloon.
And then, like,
you park your car behind an ambulance or something, block them in,
and the person inside the ambulance would perish because they couldn't get to the hospital fast enough.
Well, then it pops up, target assassinated. You beat the mission. So this is okay.
So maybe you're just Mr. Bean doing assassination.
Yes, but that's tight though, because Mr. Bean's whole bit is he's feigning ignorance, right? Like this is a Mr. Bean who seems like he's just up to hijinks, but he keeps accidentally killing very high value targets.
Okay.
So you have to kind of play it off like a goof him up.
So he uses like a fucking like hacksaw to kill a guy, but then it's like a lightweight hacksaw, and he like folds it up and puts it in his backpack and looks at the person next to him and it's like,
my flexible friend.
Okay, well, see, that to me, that would be a 1 out of 5 star kill rating at the end of that
mission. It would be a 5 out of 5 bean rating.
Yeah, I just think Mr. Bean needs to be a little more... You cut someone with a hacksaw. Mr. Bean's style is more like he leans against a wall and accidentally like realizes
the wall falls
down and then knocks someone in a wheelchair down a staircase. Like, that's his style.
Yeah, sure.
And he's got to play it off as just like, oh my.
He like jumps into a swimming pool and it splashes up on a man who's sitting next to like a boombox that's plugged in and electrocutes him.
And then he's like, oh dear. And
I've killed again.
Now, how much do you think it would cost us to kind of get the LA noir tech? Just because I think
Nick, that spooked me. I actually thought about what his face
would
look like.
What Rowan Atkinson's fucking head would look like digitized.
With that like rubbery, like fleshy, shiny, oily visage of
just
Rowan
Atkinson.
Just kind
of a wet 1,000-frame-per-second Rowan Atkinson stapled to a video game character's body.
Oof.
Now that's content.
Now that's what I call content volume 3.
What else we got? Is there anything jumping out at you?
I have a really good one from Orange Cream Dream, who says, "You have 60 seconds to study a given topic. You must give a compelling TED talk about it, but your PowerPoint slides, musical cues, and even the house lighting are all randomized."
That's really good. And I actually think we could probably demo this right now. Do you?
Not it.
Fuck. Okay. Well, give me a subject and set a timer.
Okay. How about...
Wait, hold on. Is the premise that it has to be something with a Wikipedia article?
Yeah. Like, let's just do a random Wikipedia search.
Yes. Hit me with a random.
Okay. Hold on. I mean, this one's too easy because I feel like you could actually do it. The third one that popped up was More Capsule Album.
Wait.
It's an album by the Japanese J-pop band Capsule.
Yeah, that wouldn't be funny. That would just be informative.
That would be informative and important. It might even be essential.
All right, keep rolling. Keep rolling those dice.
How about Tumalo, Oregon? That's Tumalo, Oregon. Tell me as soon as you hit enter.
All right.
On that page.
Okay, hold on. I've got it loaded up on Google. I have not opened it yet.
Yeah, and we'll cut out the 60-second pause so there's not 60 seconds of fucking dead air on this podcast.
All right, 3, 2, 1, go.
Fuck.
Oh, this is a short Wikipedia article. Oh, God. All right. Fuck.
Let's get into it.
All right. When I was a boy, my father used to take me out to the plum farm, and he would put one hand on my shoulder and he would say to me, "Boy, do you know what the clamath word for wild plum is?" Now I would say, "Daddy,
a big snake appears on your PowerPoint slide."
And of course, as always was the case in those days, there were a lot of snakes in our plum farm. And so as I swatted these snakes away, I said to him, "Daddy, no, what is it? What does Tumalo mean?" He said, "Well, Tumalo means wild plum."
There's a hot air balloon now.
And so often on these hot air balloon rides above our plum farm, my father would sort of tell me about the history of this area and what it meant to him personally. And I think to really understand...
I'm doing random Google image searches to find pictures, and I just found one with like a lot of pornography on it. So that has just appeared on your PowerPoint
to
slide.
And also
all the house lights also went up when you said it, and it did like a Who Wants to Be a Millionaire style music stinger, like ba ba ba.
Now to really understand Tumalo, Oregon, you need to understand pornography.
More pornography.
When I was
so
a boy,
much pornography.
There was so much pornography. And now there's 3 pornographies.
A non-contact thermometer. More pornography. A medieval knight.
Now,
boo! This presentation sucks. Tell me about Tumalo.
Now, you might be wondering, and I know a lot of you in the audience are. I see your faces. You look very confused. You're looking around. You're asking yourselves, "What does this have to do with Tumalo, Oregon?"
A trout fisherman.
It all comes back to trout fishing. Now, Tumalo Creek means icy water, and trout don't love icy water.
30-year-old man with a big guy in a goofy costume.
But Tumalo State Park, located adjacent to Tumalo in Deschutes County, Oregon, was actually the first site where Goofy rode a motorcycle. Griffin, I can't do this. It's too hard.
It's a fucking hard game, dude.
This is a very...
Why did you buy it? You should have read the Steam reviews.
Fucking Dark Souls of having to bullshit.
This is a fun fact. If you just do a random Google image search...
Yeah, I didn't know that was an option.
Half of the time, it will be pornography.
What are you... Are you typing in... How are you doing this?
There's just like a website that like generates a random search.
Wow.
But I'm wondering if maybe they're... Their heuristics are maybe a bit tainted, no pun intended.
I think that that's actually a very optimistic way of looking at it. If you think that less than half of the images on the internet are not pornographic.
Yeah. I got one here, and it's from Praise Camilla, mm-hmm. who says, "Design the opposite of an NES Mini, and I think that's just a big Genesis."
I think you're right. I think this is a livable Genesis. This is a mega, mega drive.
Does it play 30 games?
It plays...
And is it, here's the thing. It's fucking huge. It is the size of, like, a storage container that they might cut into on Storage Wars, right? It's a big old boy with 30 games on it. Alex Kidd, Kid Chameleon,
Sorry,
the
Griffin,
whole Kid Suite.
I think to get this opposite thing locked in, it's got to have all but 30 Genesis games. So there are 30 Genesis games it doesn't have.
No Sonic games, games.
But it does have Sonic and Knuckles.
Okay, that's fine.
That's necessitated.
And here's the other thing about it, and this is scary, but it is so plentiful. It is so readily available. They made too many of them, and actually the Earth is overcrowded with big Genesis.
Right, people are being pushed. Small towns like Tumalo are being shoved into the ocean. Tumala? Tumalo.
It doesn't. I've already forgotten. You gave such a bad presentation that none of it stuck in
there. I tried. It's just... So they're big storage container-sized Genesises that Sega made too many of. God, how appropriate would it be if humanity reached extinction because of Sega just fucking up hardware again? Mm-hmm. It's kind of their MO at this point.
Not with a bang, but with a Sega.
I like... well done.
Thank you. I have perfect pitch.
Here's a submission from Dovakla. It's a photo submission of a sign at a zoo. It says, "Caution, you're in danger. Tapirs can spray backwards 7 to 10 feet. Please stay alert."
Oh, I thought you were in danger.
I mean, yes, right? It is, yeah. It is both. Looking at this image, what's interesting to me about it, besides the fun sort of art style that they've depicted this taper in, is that it's got kind of a wide blast radius.
Yeah, it
kind of
has like it got the contra spread power up.
Yeah, it's got a cone-shaped blast. And I think trying to stay alert in a situation where you could get blasted with taper urine from 7 to 10 feet away, that line
That's
of sight is brutal.
Crazy, dude.
It actually presents an interesting situation where in most stealth games, you want to roll up on someone from behind. In this game, that's the last thing you want to do. So it's kind of a stealth game where you need to approach all
and
your enemies.
7 to 10 feet on that to get that wide a spread on seven. Like, I think like shotgun manufacturers should like study the taper urethra because there's some natural like science going on in there. This should not be this effective,
it's
ballistically
brutal.
Speaking.
What does that accomplish, really? Defense?
I think maybe it's just fun for the taper. And I also want to talk about the fact how this is the first time I'm hearing about this, mm-hmm. despite the fact that tapers can 360 no-scope several people from a few yards away.
Right.
You would think, like, every time you go to the zoo, like, how was the zoo? Got pissed on by a taper. Oh, that happened to me the last time I went to the zoo.
Right, almost every time.
Not every time, but like most of the time I go, I do get got by a taper, and it's crazy, crazy piss field.
A piss field is definitely the right word for it because it's just sort of this giant, enormous, unavoidable.
That's a lot of piss too. Like 7 to 10 feet tapers. Damn,
it's wild.
I didn't know.
I mean, I think we should maybe this can't. I don't know that we can build a whole game around this, although that stealth idea that I did think was pretty strong. I think we remember this. We put this in our back pocket in case we need an enemy or a weapon in a future game.
A piss taper.
Fox,
are you tapering a piss?
Are you tapering
like a British,
the piss?
Like a British person,
like
says
how they
it,
say,
mate.
Take the piss. Yeah. Area Leg says, a game where the villain is your drunk self. So kind of a Dr. Jekyll, Mr. Hyde thing where you like went to bed without taking out your contacts. So you wake up blurry. You realize he's struck again.
He got me again, didn't he?
Did not drink enough water. Left to go Chinese food in the living room, so your roommates aren't happy with you.
That's the thing. Like, you wake up in the morning and your stomach feels like death, but you can't relieve yourself. And you're like, what the fuck? And you go into the living room, you find like a bowl a big old bowl, like a big storage bowl that last night was full of mashed potatoes. Mm-hmm. Damn it!
You had two side by side bowls, one with mashed potatoes and one with a whole box full of crackling oat bran. You've just poisoned yourself.
You ate a quart of tossed salad and scrambled eggs because you thought it was funny.
You did it for the...
It was like a... You did it as a joke for your friends.
You sarcastically ate all of the... You ate 12 eggs and 2 pounds of salad.
And it was rough. Kelsey Grammer was there, though, too. You did it as like a power play because you were fucked up. Like, when you're fucked up, all you want to do is antagonize Mr. Grammer.
Antagonize, but also kind of impress.
He loved it. Yeah, like, he was on board. He was singing the whole song.
Hey, Griffin, it's going to be about that time. Do we rapid fire?
I have no more suggestions, but if you want to take a few blasts.
I mean, I got a couple. We got Panic at Nabisco.
And there it is. That's the one.
That's our game. What happened at the Nabisco factory to cause such a clatter?
Wait, was that the name of the person who submitted it or the game?
Nope, that was the game. Idangs 1294 said Panic at Nabisco.
Oh, I see. Shit. I mean, what did happen at the Nabisco factory? I think maybe people realized that Ritz crackers aren't very good.
Bullshit.
Okay.
Bullshit. Have you ever put cream cheese on a Ritz cracker? Have you ever had a sharp slice of cheddar on top of that Ritz cracker? Do you know?
I mean, okay, but what you're talking, you realize you're talking about different hats for the experience. Have you ever had a slice of cheddar, a sharp cheddar on a fucking Triscuit or a Wheat Thin?
So you want a Ritz cracker, but kind of a dry, scrapey, worse, none of the butteriness, none of the saltiness, none of the flakiness. Just really take every good adjective right out of it. You want to just...
Interesting.
Just kind of make it shitty, is what you're saying.
Fucking edgy.
It's Sami Amar... Oh, God damn it.
They got you again. Fuck.
I get how that fooled you now, because it's ITSAMI_AMARIO. Suggest a connect... Make a game for this game system. A Kinect taped to the front of an Oculus Rift, both connected to a laptop in your backpack as you walk around town.
Just eyes.
I guess that is just eyes. Kind of expensive, high battery consumption eyes.
I don't know what a game like.
Well, okay.
Smart glass or like. There's fucking so many other better ways to do that.
This is tight because this is it. If we nail this, it is eyes. You're right, but it's eyes that we can fuck with. So it's eyes, if you could control the input on your eyes.
Okay. I mean, that's all that glasses and contacts are.
I'm talking control. I'm talking everyone is upside down today.
Okay, that's fine.
I'm talking like a day-by-day calendar where it just randomizes one small element of your life and you got to try to spot it.
Or you could just do like you walk up to random people on the street and you're like, play Fruit Ninja for me.
They just start swiping?
Just start Fruit Ninja-ing and I'll watch it. Dance for me, dance central for me, child of light, child of, what is that fucking game called? Child of Eden?
Yes, yeah. I always fucking get those confused.
Child of Eden for me, take me on a synesthetic experience, like, I'm not gonna see it, just wave your arms around, you'll shoot the music.
Okay, so we're taking a normal video game where it's visual and interactive, and we're bisecting it, right? So it's interactive for them and visual for you, but neither one of you is getting the whole experience.
Wreck-a-tier for me, yes.
Here's one from Meganova. A fighting game where it gets patched and rebalanced while you fight.
Okay. So, like, I don't play enough fighting games, I think, to understand the intricacies of what goes into a fighting game.
The Yomi, right.
But I guess it's just, like, the Hadoukens are smaller.
Buffed. Oh, actually, I'm remembering now that the more recent Pokemon games have done this thing where if you do the same move over and over, it'll actually nerf it gradually, and it'll do a lower percentage of damage if you just, like, spam the same attack. But this is more like... I actually... I mean, maybe we spin this off into... a fighting game where it gets patched and rebalanced by the creators during the grand final tournament. So, like, the developers of the game are up there in the code while fucking the world champions are fighting each other, while Daigo is up on stage. And they're just, as his opponent's health bar gets lower, they nerf him more and more, and they're kind of jiggling those sliders and...
Could it be competitive nerfing, where on one side there's the developers of the game who are trying to balance it, and on the other side there's modders who are trying to not only return it to its original perfect state of balance, but also just taking all the clothes off?
Yes. Yes, it can be that. Yes, it will be that.
It must be that.
It must be that. That must be what it is.
I think that Dank Nug is old Persona.
Dude, it's Persona 6, big time.
And I don't think we call it Persona 6.
What do you?
I think this would be sort of an ODST like side
Persona
story.
Q vibe. You're saying,
except good.
Well, let's not be mean.
If I wanted to draw fucking maps professionally, which is what that game demands of you, mm-hmm. I would have gone to cartography school.
Okay, but if you want to see Aegis and Yosuke hang out, where the fuck else are you going to turn?
That's a good question,
nerd.
Old Persona. It's Persona. Persona 99.
I kind of like old Persona because it's really just the phrase old person, but with an A on the end.
is this anything? Persolda.
Mm-mm.
It's old Persona. Okay, old Persona and Knuckles.
Old Persona and Knuckles. Is there any punctuation driven emphasis on the fact that it's the phrase old? Is it old person hyphen A? Is it old person ellipses A?
I think it's old person all caps A lowercase.
Old person A, like lowercase yeah. A.
And I think maybe we even make the A an alpha symbol so people like purposefully misread it. Old persona and Knuckles.
Stupid tank.
And here's the fucking, you ready for this? Because we talked about like sort of it would follow the structure, and genuinely it would be very, very good. I would love to explore some of the themes about like aging.
Yeah,
right.
No,
and,
totally,
like, the late stages of life. Like, I think that's a really interesting subject for a game like this to tackle. I genuinely think that's not a joke.
For real, that would be good.
I think it could be very, very cool. But also the main selling point of this game is we're gonna have this motherfucker out in March.
We're gonna beat them to the punch.
Well, this shit's out in January.
Bullshit. No,
fuck
Griffin,
you.
What we do, we announce it to be a PS5 game coming out in 2023, and then we gradually move the release date closer and closer, and Atlas starts panicking as we approach the Persona 5 release date, and then we fucking slip under the...
Cut the legs out from under.
I love that. This seems like a good game. A good game with a bad... I feel bad because Persona Team is so good at naming their games. They have really avoided the fucking Final Fantasy X Kingdom Hearts divided by 365 bullshit.
Sorry, by naming their games, you mean just not doing that crazy...
Yes.
Just saying, like, the next number. Okay.
Literally, like, they have called their games Persona... Well, that's not totally true.
Persona 4 Dancing All Night is...
Yeah, Persona 3 Fess, F-E-S, is a stupid fucking name. And also, like, Shin Megami Tensei might technically still be part of the title somewhere, so fuck that. I take it all back. But, okay, this game will fit right in.
Old Persona.
I love also that, like, depending on the person listening to this episode's podcasting app of choice, the alpha character that I use may not appear, so it might just say old person in the episode name.
Oh, dude, you know how the personas are represented by different things in each game? Like, in 3, it was, like, a gun you had to shoot. And,
yes.
Like,
what's the evoker for persona, for old persona?
Here's what's fucked up. Are you ready, dude?
Yeah, I guess.
Pills.
Shit. Oh,
it's like
no.
Pills that you take, and so you don't know, like, that's another thing that's going on, is, like, you tell them, like, there's a freight elevator that we can access that takes us to the Shadow World, and they're like, what? And they're like, yeah, and you get there by taking these pills.
The pills
actually are, like, Succubus and the weird Penis Chariot one.
Mm. So it's a sort of a One Flew Over the Cuckoo's Nest vibe on top of all this.
Yeah, but it really is demons.
It really is demons in there. Demon pills.
Yeah, but that's why people don't believe you. That's why nobody's going to this crazy freight elevator to check it out. So it's just like, Persona! And you pop like a pill, and then like all of a sudden Succubus is there casting Agi.
This seems fucking great. This is one of those
fucking super duper good.
This is one of those episodes, Griffin, where I feel like this vein is so rich. We keep stumbling onto ways that this idea is perfect and works. In a way that's, I don't know, it's, I feel blessed to have been a part of this.
I'm gonna keep a fucking eye on my phone for Persona Team to like hit me up and be like, hey, great idea. We want you on board for formerly Persona 6, now old Persona, which we're going to set in Milwaukee, and yeah. It's going to be very old.
How did we end up on this idea?
It's not important.
Okay, it's ours. It's ours. We own it. All rights reserved. Copyright, copyright, copyright. This is our thing.
I mean, it was definitely sent in by a suggestion.
Shh, no.
Oh, okay.
Fucking Atlas doesn't need to know that. Persona team doesn't need to know that.
Yeah. Thank you all for listening. I think that's it. Yeah.
Yeah.
Thanks all for listening to the next, this current episode. It's the next one if you heard the last one.
It is also, if you heard next week's one before this one, this is the one from before that.
Thank you.
Hey, you know what we haven't said in a while?
What we haven't said
in a while is...
my mind is not fucking working.
Poor this is Griffin. Just to give you guys some context, Griffin has taped about 7 podcasts in the past 72 hours.
I already whined about that in this episode.
Yeah. What I was going to say... is if you like this show, it is super, super helpful for us if you rate us on iTunes. I go through and I read those from time to time, and they are always a pick me up, but it also helps people discover the show. Another good way to help people discover the show is we make these weekly clips on YouTube. Every Monday we post a new Cool Games Inc. animation. So
we don't make those, Clayton.
Sorry,
Polygon.
We,
Clayton,
the collective
awesome.
We, the Polygon, yeah. We, Clayton, and then sometimes we have guest animators come in who create these. So like this past week we did one on the tobacco microtransactions bit from Creative Cloud.
I don't remember that.
That was from a different podcast. That was some other team did that one, but we just had to do a little fun with that. Last week we did the explaining Tumblr to my dad, and then we did Cook for Cube. The animations are fucking incredible, and
yeah,
our editor Clayton
good.
He puts so much effort in. Did you see the loot crate unboxing animation?
Yes,
in the tobacco?
It was insane.
It's so good. So if those are a great way to share the show with people, but yeah, thank you guys in general for like being
I also
so
want to mention that Nick and I have if you've watched Carboys, which I also think we don't talk about very much on this,
yeah.
We have a video series called Carboys, where Nick plays BeamNG.drive, which is a soft body car physics simulator, and we just fuck it up.
Mm-hmm.
In the same vein as that, last week and today, we have another episode of a new series called Touch the Skyrim, where I play Skyrim and install, so far I have like 16 mods installed, and I'm just going to keep installing mods until the game dies.
I really love how you, for episode 2, because this is episode 2 of Touch the Skyrim, so Touch the Skyrim version 1.1, you did a really good job of not spoiling anything in it, in the title or description or thumbnail, because
it gets really,
dude,
really wild in
the
there.
Shit that happens in this episode is incredible.
It's one of my favorite videos I've made all year, I think.
There are, 16 episodes of Carboys? No, 17 episodes of Carboys now,
yeah,
and then episode 18, while editing,
I'm very,
17.
Very, very excited.
Dude, it pops off completely.
Yeah.
I'm so excited for next week. So
sorry that we're like, I hope this doesn't sound like we're like so in our own asses. I'm just like really excited about the shit we're making.
Yeah.
At Polygon. And if you haven't seen it, I if you like this podcast, I guarantee you will like that stuff too.
Totally. And thank you to everyone who has, like, there's so much amazing, like, Carboys, and already Touch the Skyrim has amazing, like, fan art and stuff. And it, yeah. That has not worn off for me. That touches my heart every time I see it. It's so cool.
Yeah.
So
thank you all very much for listening. Until next time, I'm Griffin McElroy.
I'm Nick Robinson.
No problem. Fun.